Good morning. If you'd like to turn to John chapter 9, that's where we're going to be studying from to start out this morning. Really appreciate all the good leadership this morning and the worship service and the good spiritual thoughts that we've been reminded of today. It's always a blessing to be here and worship God on the Lord's Day. Rick, how's your vision doing? Yeah. Yeah, blindness is not a good thing, is it, Rick? Yeah, practically blind in one eye, I believe. And the other one struggles some. I got a detached retina in my eye many years ago, and so my vision in my right eye is all curvy. And I have a dog who's half blind. Chucky runs into the couch oftentimes. He'll be running towards the door and he'll just run smack into the couch. He's got bad cataracts, and so he doesn't see very well in front of him. Oh, you know what? I just looked out at the audience here. Let me stop my train of thought here for just a moment and introduce to you Chris Larson. Chris, stand up, will you? Chris is new to T2 yesterday, got out, and he's with us, and I've known Chris for about... You can sit down now, Chris. Everybody sees you. I've known Chris, I think, Chris, ever since I started going to Lottie way back in May or so of 2016, so about 2.5 years. And he has always had a smile on his face, and he's always been eager to be in the Word. He's always had questions. He's done studies. He's written papers. He's really tried to dedicate himself to the Word of God, and I really appreciate him for that. And I'm excited to have him here in Daryl's program and with us. It's great to have you here, Chris. All right, back to blindness. It's not a good thing. But in the Bible, it's not a good thing for the most part, right? And I say for the most part because John chapter 9 is the exception. Blindness is a bad thing spiritually, Jesus said, called the Pharisees hypocrites, fools, and blind. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they don't see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Blindness is not a good thing in the Bible, generally speaking. But in John chapter 9, you see an exception. So let's begin reading in verse 32. This is the story of the blind man whom Jesus healed. And the Jewish leaders are not willing to believe that Jesus did this. They are questioning, challenging, objecting. And so they bring this blind man to them. And they bring his parents to them. They're interrogating them. Here in verse 32, the blind man says, and when he's being challenged about this miracle that Jesus did, he says, "Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man, Jesus, were not from God, he could do nothing." And they answered him, these are the Jewish leaders, they answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Well, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus then said this. He says, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Well, so far I'm understanding this very easily. He wants those who are not seeing right now to see. Those who are blind, he wants to heal them, so to speak, and get them to see. And then he says, "And those who see may become blind." In other words, those, it seems like he's saying there that those who think they see, they may become blind and not see at all. But then he goes on in verse 40 and says, "Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, 'Are we also blind?' And Jesus said to them, 'If you were blind, you would have no guilt or no sin. But now that you say we see, your guilt, your sin remains.'" And so right there, Jesus is saying that he wishes they were blind. Blindness is a good thing in this context here. If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. So how do you understand that?
Well, I'm going to try to help a little bit with this. And here's my title of the lesson: Are You Blind? Your salvation depends on it. Your salvation depends on being blind. And I bet you never thought of it that way. And neither did I really until I studied this passage of Scripture here. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Where is the value? Why is Jesus urging these Pharisees to actually become blind? Because they say they see, their sin remains. He wishes they would become blind. Well, I think there's an answer to this. And I think this is part of the answer. These Jews, these religious leaders, had baggage that influenced their view of truth. They had their own ideas about religion. They thought they saw. They could see. And Jesus says, because you say we see, your guilt remains. They had a lot of baggage in terms of how they viewed the truth and how they viewed Jesus. They rejected Jesus for a number of reasons, and they had different reasons depending on their background, depending on their experiences, depending upon their understanding of things. And they had been influenced. The Pharisees, for example, had been influenced by the way they viewed the traditions of the rabbis. They viewed the rabbis as being authoritative, and so they would teach what the rabbis taught and value what the rabbis taught, believe what the rabbis taught. They came from that background, that line of experience. The Sadducees were the wealthy and educated, more liberal of the groups of Jews. And they had a different set of circumstances and experiences and baggage that influenced the way they thought. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, for example. Why not? When the Bible clearly indicates such all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. And Jesus confronted them on that very subject. Well, their wealth and their education no doubt influenced them to a great degree. They valued very highly what they thought about things. They were educated. They were knowledgeable. They were intelligent. That's the way they viewed themselves. And so they valued what they thought about certain things, even though those things were not truly substantiated in the Word of God. And then you had the group of the Zealots, who were mainly politically motivated. They wanted to overthrow Rome, and they wanted to use religion to do it. And so when Jesus came and declared himself to be the Son of God and to be the King that was coming and the announced Messiah, they wanted a particular type of Messiah that would take over a physical kingdom and overthrow the Romans and put the Jews back in power. So that was their baggage. So the Jews had a lot of baggage, different types of baggage that influenced how they saw Jesus, influenced how they saw truth, influenced how they practiced their religion, influenced what they believed. And I believe Jesus was saying that they needed to become blind to their baggage so that the truth would find a place in their hearts and allow them to truly see. But because they said, "We see," they were actually blind. They were blind because of their baggage. They were blind because of their preconceived notions, their ideas, their experiences, their emotions, what they had gone through in life. That's why they were blind. So blindness was a problem for them. They needed to see truly. And so I get the lesson from this, that those who say they see, and who are those, and I've described them this way, comfortable with the status quo, have closed ears, have no fear of God, are not able, that is, they don't care enough to see God's truth. And I think that was the case of these religious leaders. They didn't care enough to open their ears, their minds, to God's truth. They remained blind to God's truth. They thought they saw, but they remained blind because they were comfortable with their own ideas and their own status quo where they were religiously. And they had closed ears, therefore, were not really open to the teachings of Jesus, didn't understand what he was saying to them because they didn't care enough to seek out and have ears to hear. And so I think that's the message in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, where Paul says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Paul just comes right out and says it. He says there are people who cannot understand. They are unable to understand. But why is that? He calls them the natural man. And he says they can't understand. They're not open to it. They don't care enough about it. They're not seeking it. They're the natural man. They're looking at things carnally. They're looking at things in of this world. The influences, the experiences, the education, the wealth, all the baggage is what's influencing them, and they're not open to the truth of God. They cannot understand God's truth. I think that really helps a lot in us, helping us to understand why there are so many different interpretations and views out there in the religious world. Why don't people see the Bible alike? It's not the fault of God. It's not the fault of the Bible. This is partially, I think, maybe even primarily, an explanation as to why people don't see the Bible alike. Because the Bible is spiritually discerned, and you cannot have your baggage getting in the way of seeing what God is trying to communicate. You have to get rid of the baggage. You have to open up your eyes, open up your heart, open up your mind, open up your ears to hear what God has to say and not let your baggage influence you in terms of your understanding of God's truth. Now, I encounter that all the time down at the prison in teaching and anywhere, not just the prison, but anywhere you're teaching the gospel. Whenever you're teaching someone, usually they have some form of baggage. I'll call it baggage. What do I mean? Experiences, education, teaching, parents, family. I had baggage. I had baggage when I came to the Lord at age 26. I had all my past experiences and all the teaching that had been given to me by my parents and all the teaching that had been given to me in the Catholic Church. I had that as my baggage and probably a lot more. I'd experienced a lot of things in college and so forth with various cults, and not that I was ever a member of any of them, but I saw them and understood what they were trying to do and teach. So I had a lot of baggage. So what we need to do is become blind. That is, we have to be willing to change, not just be comfortable in the status quo. We've got to be willing to, when we come to Jesus, when we look at the Word of God, we've got to be willing to change. We've got to have ears to hear. We've got to be humble toward God. Down at the prison, a lot of times I'll hear guys give me their opinions on things. Oftentimes, they're just completely off with no basis in the Word of God, but they believe what they're saying, and they want to offer their opinion and their viewpoint, and they want me to believe it as true. And so what I'll do usually in those cases is I'll say, let's turn in the Bible to this and such and such a verse or verses, and I'll try to lead them to see what God has to say. Sometimes that's very effective in the sense that they receive it, they accept it, and they change their way of thinking. But most of the time, it's not, because they have their minds made up already on what they already see, what they already believe to be so. And so you'll show them Scripture, and they won't understand it. They won't accept it. And that's their baggage. They haven't become blind. Jesus said, because you say we see, your guilt remains with you. You got to stop thinking that you know what God teaches or says about something until you can go to the Bible and find it there and make sure that it's right and true, right? That's the right spirit of having ears to hear, humble toward God, willing to change. Only then will the light of God's truth open our eyes. I can't really overstate how fundamentally important this is. And I think it's important that we teach this. I think it's important we emphasize this when we're communicating with folks, because everybody has baggage. And I usually ask people's backgrounds when I sit down and study with them. I'll say, tell me a little bit about your religious background. And I'll get some pretty good stories out of that, and I'll try to get an understanding of what maybe some of their baggage is. And then I can help them better that way. But really, the bottom line is, unless they're willing to become blind, so to speak, and admit, I don't see, what hope is there really of influencing them to the truth and teaching them the truth? They will not understand it. So there's many influences in our life that affect how we see things. Our culture around us.
goodness gracious, our culture is just blasting us with message after message after message that's contrary to the Word of God. And do you think that's not going to affect people? And that they're not going to come with baggage when they come to the Bible? If they're even willing to come to the Bible? And so they've got to come to the Bible, come to Jesus with open hearts, ears to hear, willingness to change. And unless we come to God that way, we are the carnal man who cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. And so we've got to become blind to our baggage. We must choose to love the truth of God's Word more than all else so that we can see. Such a basic message, I know, and for those of you who've been Christians for such a long time, I know that you've heard this time and time and time again. It's such a foundational point, though, that it needs to be emphasized, because all of us are out there trying to teach. We're trying to reach out. And we've got to recognize that the people that we're reaching out to are coming with all kinds of baggage. And so we've got to discern at some point, or let them know at some point, that it's extremely important that you not give consideration to your experiences, to your background, to what your pastor taught you, to what your parents taught you. And that's a hard message for people to hear, but that's the truth. You cannot come to the Word of God with previous conceptions and notions. You can't. You've got to let God teach you. Now, maybe you've been taught correctly. Maybe you've been taught on a lot of things correctly, but maybe you haven't. And so, in that event, if you hold on to that baggage and that teaching and you value that and exalt that, you're going to miss what God says. You're going to think you see. And Jesus says, I wish that you would become blind, but because you say we see, your sin remains with you. Now, I'm going to make some applications to that, but I want to start with applying this through some more principles that we see in God's Word. Matthew chapter 7, verse. I'm only going to make two applications today on this. We could make hundreds because it's all the same principle that is important in helping people to understand God's truth. They have to be able to see without the baggage. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. How can we understand that passage of Scripture unless we also understand that the reason why there are only a few is because only a few are willing to open up their minds and hearts and ears to what God has to say rather than what they already think and believe. Because there's lots of religious people out there. And they're religious in the wrong way. Many, you know, you can just start with the false religions. They're religious people. They believe what they believe with all their heart. I'm not questioning their conscientiousness. I'm not questioning their character. What I am saying is that they believe because of what they've been taught. They believe because of their experiences. They believe because of what they've read or whatever it may be. And when you come to the Word of God, you've got to be willing to put all that away and look with a pure heart and a pure mind at what God says, because you may have been taught wrongly. Here's another verse in the same context. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Jesus says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. How do you understand that verse? These are sincere people, it seems. They're doing many wonderful works in Jesus' name. They're calling him Lord, Lord. And yet he says to them, depart from me. I never knew you. You practice lawlessness. Something went wrong here. Something went terribly wrong with these people who were religious and who wanted to serve Jesus. Something went terribly wrong.
And that's what I'm getting at here. What went wrong?
It's not that God demands perfection. It's not that God demands sinlessness. It's not that we have to be perfectly right on everything. This is much deeper than that. That's not at all what God expects. What He does expect is that heart that seeks Him and His truth and loves His word and His truth more than we love our baggage, our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own experiences, what we've been taught before. That's what He's looking for. That's what's the problem here. They're practicing lawlessness, not in the sense that they're evil and wicked. They're doing wonderful works in Jesus' name. They're prophesying. Whatever it is that they're doing, they're casting out demons in Jesus' name. So it's not like they're evil, wicked, horrible people. But He says, depart from me. You practice lawlessness. Something is terribly wrong.
And that is what I believe John 9 identifies for us. Because we say we see, our sin remains with us. We got to open up our minds and our hearts. And by the way, those of you who have been in the Lord's church for umpteen years, this applies to you just as much as it applies to anybody else in the world. We all have our baggage. We have things that we've been taught perhaps that are wrong.
We have ideas, conceptions, ways of thinking about things that perhaps are not correct.
So we have to be willing to open up our hearts and minds to discern God's truth and not allow our baggage to tell us, oh, well, we see. We understand. We know how it needs to be. We might end up practicing lawlessness because we're not open to the Word of God in sincerity and in truth. Only those who truly become blind will search out God's truth and commit in their hearts to follow it. I'm just going to read you a few verses in John just to show you how important this is. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read them very quickly. John 1 and verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 4, verse 23 and 24, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. John 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in My word, then you are truly My disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. John 18, verses 37 and 38, Pilate said to Him, so you are a king? And Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king, and for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to My voice. And Pilate walked away and said, what is truth? There was a man who was unwilling to open up his ears or his heart to any truth that Jesus might give to him. Because why? Because of his baggage. Because of his preconceived notions. Because of his previous beliefs. He wasn't open at all. Truth is paramount. It's so significant. You have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls. You want your sin not to remain with you? Then you have to obey the truth. Not some doctrine that God didn't teach, but the truth. He brought us forth. We're born again. That's a birth term. He brought us forth by the word of truth. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, he will save his soul from death. Truth is paramount. Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. There you have it. They have some baggage. And they want to do what they want to do, and they want to have their ears tickled so that they can continue to do what they want to do, all while professing to follow Jesus. That's what he's talking about. Wanting to have their ears tickled They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside the myths. Galatians 2 and verse 5, Paul says in regard to this, we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. Paul contended for the truth against those who would try to teach error on the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, a warning to men like me and Daryl and all of us. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. I better keep my heart pure. I better keep my ears open. I better be willing to admit that I could be wrong. I better listen to God, and I need to be willing to be taught. But I would be the one, you might think, that most susceptible to being like those Jews who Jesus said, because you say we see, your guilt remains with you. It would be my pride, it would be my arrogance that got in the way in such a case, wouldn't it? 3 John 1 and verse 4, John said, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Now I have two applications to make on this. First of all, what must I do to be saved? To me, aside from belief in God and belief in the Bible, there is no more important question. Obviously, you wouldn't care about this question if you didn't first believe in God and believe in the Bible as the Word of God. But if you do, then the next question of greatest importance is, what must I do to be saved? Do you think that's an important question to get right? That's an important question to open up your ears to have a heart that seeks after God's truth, because there are many teachings of men down through the years on this very question. But God answers this question. This is the primary point of the Bible, to lead us to Jesus Christ, who allows us to be saved. So what must I do to be saved? So become blind, please. Become blind to all your baggage, to everything you've ever heard, whatever your pastor taught you, or whatever the priest taught you, or whatever your parents taught you. Become blind to the baggage and open up the Word of God and ask Him for the answer. And He will show it to you through His Word. Forget everything your parents believe. Forget everything your pastor taught you. Forget what your friends think. And I say forget there only in the sense of don't value that so highly above the Word of God. Forget it in that sense. Forget every religious experience you've ever had. I had a guy who understood very well what the Bible taught him on any number of different subjects, but he had a religious experience that contradicted what he was now seeing in the Word of God, and he refused to allow the Word of God to dominate, if you will, or overcome that religious experience. And to this day, as far as I know, he remains unfaithful, disobedient to God. Forget what feels good or right. I had a study one time with a woman who was so convinced that she had been saved 15 years ago that even though she understood the Word and was willing to repeat it back to me and explain it to me in the correct way and understood exactly what God taught, she refused to believe that she was not saved 15 years ago because she felt something 15 years ago. Baggage. The truth is what determines salvation. Only the truth will set us free. Open our hearts and our minds. The only thing that matters to you is to discover what God says about salvation. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure about that, then we should study that, and we will. All you have to do is ask, and we'll open up the Word of God together, and you'll have to see it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Read it and open up your mind and your heart. Here's another application. Which church should I attend? To me, these are two fundamental questions that I deal with very early on in studies. Because this is the practical. First of all, what must I do to be saved? If we don't get that right, we can't get anything right in the Bible. We'll never agree on anything unless we agree on that. Because that's simple and that's straightforward, and God speaks very plainly and clearly to it. And also, He speaks to this subject. Which church should I attend? The world will say, join the church of your choice. How about if we look and see what God says about the church that He built? That's His church. Jesus' church. Become blind, and then you'll see. Again, forget about all of your baggage. Forget about it. The only thing that matters to you is to discover what God says about His church. So which church should I attend? And this is my final slide, my final point this morning. If you want to get to heaven, in other words, you don't want your guilt to remain with you, then become blind so that you can see. Put away all the baggage. Seek scriptural authority for all things. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He's the judge. It's His word that judges us. So you go to the Word of God and you seek scriptural authority for all things. Which church should I attend? A church that teaches a scriptural plan of salvation. A church that is organized scripturally. A church that worships scripturally. A church that seeks scriptural accountability and discipline. That uses the church treasury scripturally. That identifies itself scripturally. That's the kind of church that you should attend. And along with that, of course, you want to attend a church where there's life and a desire to worship God in hearts that are filled with love of souls. But you've got to seek scriptural authority for all these things, or else you're attending the church of man's choice, not the church of God's choice. So are you open? Are you blind? Are you willing to see the way God wants you to see, or do you think you see? And I got to ask myself that question constantly, because I've studied a long time in my life and I've come to a lot of conclusions. And if I'm not willing to go back and study and test and challenge, then I'm just like the Pharisees where I think I see. So I'm encouraging everyone to think about this principle, see how fundamental it is, and try to teach it to folks early on as you study with them. If you have opportunity to study with someone, emphasize the importance of going by the Bible and using just the Bible and finding scriptural authority for everything that's practiced. And I appreciate your good attention this morning. And like I said, there's lots of different applications that we could make to that very subject on any number of different things, and some of which are very controversial, but don't have to be if we'll just go with what the Bible says rather than bringing our baggage with us, what we think, what I've been taught, what the world says. If we go to the Word of God, we can understand God's truth, and that's what saves us. So I do appreciate your good attention this morning. You all have listened very well and encouraged me while I was speaking. I appreciate that very much. There may be someone here this morning who is not yet a child of God, who knows what they need to do to be saved. And if that's the case, we stand ready to help you. The baptistry is ready. We'll baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. Or if you're a Christian already and you need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.